Good morning. We'll try that one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to your first seminar of the Gathering 2023. We have a great lineup for you, and we couldn't be more excited to introduce Brent to you. He is a senior pastor at King's Church. He's one of the fastest growing churches in Canada with a leading and growing presence throughout Atlantic Province. Brent has a passion for revival in Canada and is committed to seeing the local church bringing transformation, life-giving presence across the country. Brent lives... Can you help me with that word?
No,
I want to hear you
try it.
Oh, no! Quispamsis? Is that close?
We got a few locals. Quispamsis.
Oh. Sure. With his wife, Melanie, their daughter, Ava, and their sons, Aiden and Alexander, and their dog, Lewis. As Brent makes his way up, which he's already up, would you please join me in prayer? God, we thank you for today and the chance for the gathering. We ask that you will be with Brent as he shares this morning, and that you would speak to us and encourage us through what he has prepared. Amen. The floor is yours.
Well, thanks everybody for coming. That's a really a privilege to be able to sit and share specifically about a topic. I don't know, the Holy Spirit's not really a topic, but the idea of implementing more of the work and presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit in a local church is kind of a topic that I'm really passionate about and very excited and honored that you would squeeze into this room to hear. And so I just want to ask just the Holy Spirit specifically, just to welcome him here, just pray with me one more time. You just say, "Come, Holy Spirit. We don't want to talk about you. We want to know you. And so we invite you even now. We open our hearts and our minds to you. We just lay down our pride and our baggage, and we just allow you, Holy Spirit, to anything that I say today, Holy Spirit, that's of you, would you deposit it in our hearts and in our minds? And anything that's not, would you just let it fall to the side? And I pray this in Jesus' name." Amen. I want to start with a couple precursors just before we dive in. I made my own slides for this. I will send you the slideshow at the end of this. If you want it, we can send it to you. Just it gives you a little more comprehensive note-taking ability. But I want to just say before we dive in, I don't know everything about this topic. I don't consider myself an expert. You should probably be concerned about somebody that does consider themselves an expert on the things of the Holy Spirit, but I just want to put that out there. I don't know everything, and I won't be able to cover everything today, but my hope is to stir up some faith and hunger and give you some practical steps on how you, in your context, whether you're a senior pastor or you are a pastor of our ministry or just involved in your church, how you can take some steps towards just seeing more of the ministry of the Spirit manifested in your context. I want to start by taking the first maybe 10 minutes or so of my time and telling my story and the story of King's Church, and those are kind of mutually connected. And my hope is that if you get nothing else out of this, I believe there's power in testimony that's scriptural, and maybe this will stir something in your own heart hungering for more. Like was said earlier, I'm a pastor at a church called King's Church. We're in Atlantic Canada. We have sites, locations, congregations throughout the region. So we have five locations. Three are in New Brunswick, which is one province. And then to the east, we have a small island called Prince Edward Island, where we have a congregation. And then a province called Nova Scotia, where we have a congregation. I know we have some Canadians here, but for my American friends, I don't want to assume that you know where that is. But we have, over the last decade, just seen some incredible just move of God type stuff happen in our midst, in our context. We've had just a lot of not just conversions, people accepting Christ, but becoming disciples. We've baptized in the last 10 years 1,013 people. And in our context, that's quite staggering, because we aren't in a large urban context. You know, the city that we're in the whole region is about 130,000 people. And so we're not dealing with millions and millions of people. So we're seeing just real fruitfulness happen, not just in the area of people becoming disciples, but God's given us a grace as a ministry to really help people find recovery from addiction and past trauma. We run the largest Celebrate Recovery in Canada. We have a couple hundred people every week coming and finding hope in Christ and seeing real transformation through that kind of bridge that really, again, was just a door that the Holy Spirit opened on this journey. And along with that, though, just to give you a little more snapshot, we're presently experiencing an increase in just like manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We're just seeing the Holy Spirit, Jesus stuff kind of popping out everywhere. And this has been kind of a culmination and exponential growth we've seen over the last decade. We're experiencing a lot of healing, physical, emotional, relational. We're seeing that happen quite frequently now, more so than ever. Again, it's been happening in drips for the last decade, and it's really starting to pour over as of late. It's been very exciting and just crazy to watch. We've seen a lot of increase in the area of just deliverance. We're doing like freedom prayer and that kind of stuff, where we're seeing just some real powerful encounters in that, like just that prayer context. And we're just overall seeing people getting activated in the gifts of the Spirit, a level of health at our church that we've not seen in our leadership, seeing people kind of finding their lanes. We're, you know, I wouldn't say experimenting, but trying our best to sort of begin to operate with like the fivefold ministry in mind. And so we're seeing all that happen. And I just wanted to highlight that because it's important that you know that this is happening in Canada in what is a very post-Christian secular context. And I'm telling you that because I think that what's happening at King's Church is a forerunner of what's going to become the norm in a lot of churches in the next 10 to 20 years. And I'll say this, churches that don't figure out how to operate with and in the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't think can or will survive in a post-Christian context. The days of us trying to match the secular modes and models with, you know, production and all that stuff, that's just kids and the next generation are not at all moved by that. But I'll tell you what, they are so hungry for an encounter with the living God, with a God that can be experienced and known. And that's what we're seeing. I'll give you a little bit of the backstory before we get into maybe some of the practical stuff of how we've seen this sort of unfold. But my history with the Holy Spirit, I grew up in a Wesleyan church, a wonderful Wesleyan church in Fredericton, New Brunswick. I look back on that time, I had the gift of being part of a healthy church. I never experienced any like church drama. If there was stuff going on, I was sheltered from it. My upbringing, I look back on those people, they did church very well, like multi-generational, healthy church, you know, 150 to 300 people over the years, just a really positive, healthy upbringing. And we had, there was many times I can look back on that season of my life at Olivet Wesleyan Church in Fredericton, New Brunswick, and look back and say there were some moments there where God, quote unquote, showed up, where the Spirit showed up, and we had, you know, a special visitation, I guess you would call it. But I never experienced, even in that context or even beyond that, as I grew on and went to college, I never experienced a culture or a context where the Holy Spirit was more than just this welcomed visitor that would show up from time to time and make us all cry. I never experienced a context that viewed the Spirit as an active participant in the ministry. There's this relationship to be not just managed, but built, and this dynamic and this dance that a ministry needs to learn how to walk with. That never happened to me until I went to college. I graduated high school, spent 1 year of prodigalness in liberal arts college, and then repented and went to Bethany, Kingswood University, to detox. And I went there just like I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what repentance looked like. So I was like, I got to get the farthest away from this. Let me go to where those nerdy church kids go. And I went there. And so and it changed my life. I encountered Jesus for really, I would say, for me, in any degree of depth and personal like relationship and yieldedness. That was where that really happened, where those years I was at Kingswood. Super grateful for that time. And again, as I look back and I just see the steps of how God led my life, I got to Kingswood, and as I closed off my time there, I was invited to go to Presque Isle, Maine, to do an internship with Pastor Rick Cavanaugh and his wonderful team there. And I was really excited about that opportunity because in Presque Isle, they'd seen, I don't know what language they would use for it, but the decade prior to when I got there, and they'd seen what I would call a renewal. God really, the Spirit of God really touched down on that church. This is this rural church in this small town in northern Maine. And hundreds of people just coming out of hunger and experience, like to experience the manifest presence of God. And so I went there just like knowing this church is weird in a cool way. I want to see it. I want to be part of this. And I went there. And one of the first weekends just happened, just so happened, that Pastor Rick was doing a series that he'd done rhythmically on teaching about being filled with the Holy Spirit, learning how to walk in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And I remember sitting there as he opened that series and him talking about the difference between the general kind of omnipresence of the living God and the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. And that there's a difference between that. And I listened to a pastor with the courage to get up and say, it's possible, maybe even probable, that if you've never had a power encounter with the Holy Spirit, you probably haven't really learned how to walk with Him in any real meaningful way. It doesn't mean that the Spirit's not ministering and around your life. It doesn't mean that you're not saved, but there's this other thing that happened. You know, Wesley would call it the second work of grace. There's this other thing that happens. And he kind of opened this door of hunger after I got over my anxiety and maybe even a little bit of defensiveness. Like, who are you to tell me that I've not experienced the Holy Spirit? And the Spirit just got like a foothold inside of my heart that just started this idea started in my mind and my heart that there is more. And so for a few months, there was a season of seeking until that fall of 2005. I was at a men's conference, prayer retreat, and I was just powerfully filled with the Holy Spirit. And I look back on that time, and I know what happened in that moment, and the Lord touched my life and my heart, my mind, my body in an undeniable way. And I remember I was engaged to my now wife at the time, and I left that meeting where the Spirit fell on me, and I came back to where my fiance was, and she looked me in the eyes, and she said, "What happened to you?" She could just see it on my countenance. And that opened my heart and opened the door to what has been an ongoing growth relationship with the Spirit. Fast forward, the next year, I got hired on at King's Church. And that was, again, a wonderful church. I've been there ever since in a variety of capacities. I've had all the jobs and all the hats. And I got hired on there. And that church was also a wonderful church. A great track record of seeing people come to Christ. They had a huge production ministry, like the Choice and Hell's Gates and Heaven's Flames or whatever. Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, you know, like that. Hopefully that wasn't a Freudian slip there. My opinions on they had an incredible ministry in that arena. But I got there though and got in the flow of that and being a musician and musical and artistic. Sort of started operating in a context that was really natural gifts centric. And by 3 years in, really began to wonder and question why on earth God sent me to Presque Isle to go do that crazy stuff. And now here I am, just kind of in this other context. The leadership changed in around 2009 and again took us down the road more of, you know, seeker driven, attractional church model. And then in the summer of 2012, I had my first prophetic dream. I won't explain the whole dream to you, but in short, God spoke to me. I'd never heard anything like this before, never had a word from God that specific in my life. I had no category or context for it, but I knew God had spoke to me. He told me, "I'm driving you into something. You are not in control, but don't be afraid. I'm with you." Fast forward about 4 weeks from the time I got that dream, we had a sudden and painful pastoral transition. A bomb went off in that church, a lot of trauma and scandal and all that stuff. Several staff left overnight, and here I am, 29 years old at the time, now the senior leader holding down the fort of a broken and busted and pained up church. But in that time, that cracked the door wide open for a time of renewal in my own life and in King's Church, which has at varying degrees and rhythms been continuing for the last 10 years. About a month into me being the interim pastor, I got an email from a guy named Gary Best, and he was the director of the Vineyard Church of Canada. I'd never met him. Here I am trying to figure out what to do with all these hurting people. People are leaving the church. There's some new people showing up. Some people are coming to see the drama, all that. And I got an email from this guy, Gary Best, and Gary said, "Hey, you don't know me. I had a dream about you. My wife and I have a conference center about an hour away from you, and the Lord told me to offer it to you and your pastoral team and your board. You guys come, bring your spouses. We just want to let you heal up and rest a little bit." So we went there for that weekend. Again, just like, this is too weird. I'm going to go. And we went and, again, just enjoyed each other's company. And then the last night, we were pretty much getting ready to go. And I did my best, you know. We did some stuff like the communion and did this or that, just like things you try to do. And Gary and his wife Joy came in our room, and as we're all gathered there, they're like just cool as can be, just as naturally weird as you can imagine. They're like, "Hey, we don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, and we don't know what your context is. We just really feel the Lord would have us speak some words to you." And we're like, "Words? What's that?" And they proceeded to like touch every person in that room in a kindness and power and specificity that could only have been God. And that like cracked open the door of all of our hearts and our leadership. And it began a series of just this wild ride of God opening doors and context. I had people emailing me and calling me or showing up in my office prompted by God to give me a word or give me an opportunity. I had a guy that I'd never met before call me out of the blue. He's like, "Hey, are you Brendan Ingersoll?" I'm like, "Yep." And he goes, "Lord told me to send you to Orlando. There's this conference you need to go to. I'm gonna fly you down. You need to go to it. The Lord wants you to pick something up there to bring back here." I'm like, "Oh, that's weird. Let's go." So I came down here again. And I got on this hunt, though, for just this hunger opened up inside of me. And I got a little bit over some of my fears of maybe the charismatic arena. And I went full bore, just jump in the deep end, like put me under the faucet. "God, whatever you got, I want it." And so I went through that season. And it was in that season that God really began to, with the Holy Spirit, get access to my life and to our church. And it's been this ongoing growth dynamic that has been happening where the DNA of my life in King's Church was never and has not been the same, and we have remained at varying levels. We haven't always done it perfect, and there's been ebbs and flows and troughs and valley, or, you know, peaks and troughs, but we've continued to be desperate for the power of the Spirit in our context, and that has been the measurement, the primary measurement of our health. All of those other metrics that I told you about, the baptisms and conversions and alpha ministry and recovery, that's all fruit of what our actual goal is. And that is to foster an ongoing relationship with the Spirit. You know, are people having actual encounters with the living God? Those are the things that we're looking for. And we've learned that when the Spirit is welcomed and wanted as an active participant in a church context, that's when real growth and real health begins to happen. So I had a slideshow. You're just going to have to listen. Novel, huh? I have some conclusions. And if you're note takers, you can write these down. I'm going to shift into the seminar stuff. But I tell you all of this, of our story. I hope I can even actually sense in my own spirit, like the Spirit of God just, you know, bearing witness with your spirit that, like, I want this for every believer. I want every church that has the name of Jesus Christ, you know, on the wall. And I want every believer to experience a dynamic relationship with the Holy Spirit. Three conclusions I've drawn out of my story. Number one is this. The Holy Spirit can be with us, but not on us. I know I'm mixing language and metaphors, but my point is there's a difference between the Spirit's omnipresence and his manifest presence. There is just a difference. And I believe the Spirit of God is constantly, like it says in, I forget what Old Testament book, where it's like, he searches the earth looking for who he can encourage. Like, he's prevenient grace. Like, the Spirit is constantly at work with everyone, around everyone. He's constantly at work around our lives and around our churches. But there's something different about the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit that we have to kind of get in mind. I was thinking about it like this. If, you know, I have people that attend my church generally, and I have people that have a ministry. Does that make sense? And I think for a lot of churches, the Spirit attends generally, might show up unusually once in a while, but doesn't have an appointed ministry. And as a pastor, if I had a staff member that didn't know what his ministry was, and I didn't know what his ministry was, clearly I'm not taking that very seriously. And the question I would ask for some of you pastors is, can you point to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your context? Like, can you actually say, oh, there he is, and he does this. Oh, his job is this, and his job is this. I want us to kind of get that in mind, that there's a difference between the manifest presence and the omnipresence. Number two, second conclusion, life with the Spirit, individually and corporately, is available to all, but accessed only by those who really seek him. Like, I don't think that there's any special people in the kingdom. I think the Holy Spirit is eager and longing to encounter all of us. I just don't think all of us seek him the same. And this might be an unpopular opinion, but there are levels to this stuff. It's not like there are people, this just sounds crass, there are people who are better at walking with the Spirit than others. And it has nothing to say about the Spirit's willingness to walk with all of us, you know. It has everything to say with how we are seeking him. Number three, I'll say this. There is no comparison between a church operating exclusively in natural giftedness and one who operates in concert with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. This is not to say that, you know, our church doesn't operate in natural giftedness. We do, absolutely. In fact, if you were on the outside looking in, you might even think, you might even confuse that, oh, they're all horsepower and leadership, and that's their secret sauce. But what we've tried to do is marry the natural and the supernatural and to walk that out. And we've seen, to the degree that we do that, like, real, you know, supernatural fruitfulness has been happening as we've done it. Let me say this. Every believer and church are designed and invited to be led, filled, empowered, and equipped by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And here's the good news, and I say this just again by way of invitation. I felt really this is what the Spirit wants you to hear today. At whatever level or whatever your relationship to him or with him has been, we have found that true to his word, the Father is very willing, wanting to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and seek him. He's not holding back from you. He's not holding back from your church. Jesus said in Luke 11, you know, you earthly fathers who know how to give good gifts, how much more would your Father in heaven not also give you the Holy Spirit for those who asked? And we have seen, to the degree that we have asked and sought, we have received. He's very generous at giving himself. With all of that said, I hope you have some sense of hunger in your heart. I want to just give us some practical steps. And again, I do this with fear and trembling. I want to leave a lot of room for mystery, a lot of room for experimentation, a lot of room for your own journey. I think where there's humility and hunger, the Lord will lead you. But here's some of the things that we've found needed to be in place for us. And we've done this over and over again. But here's kind of the steps forward in moving, you know, ahead, moving forward in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. First thing, where this all has to start, number one, is we have to deal with wrong wanting. This begins in the heart with the issue of idols. The key to experiencing growth in relationship with the Holy Spirit, whether that's individually or corporately, it begins in the fear of the Lord, humility, repentance, and hunger. I look back on 2012, the superintendent, the week that the announcement was made that we're going to have a pastoral transition and people are just reeling. The superintendent got up and read a statement. You guys have probably been in that context before. I hope you haven't, but if you have, you know what it feels like. Audible gasps in the room. And I was standing there with the superintendent, and he handed me the mic to pray at the end of the service. And there is this old, I used to hate it because in my production excellence mentality, this old banner that some grandmother made in the church hanging on the wall was ugly, and I hated it. But I was handed the microphone. I literally had no idea what to say, and I looked up, and there's that banner, and it says 2 Chronicles 7, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, will repent and turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven, I will heal their lands. And I read that out. I said, I don't know what to do other than that. We're going to do that. And so Wednesday, I'm coming here and we're going to get before God. And if you would like to come with me, I would love that. And we had a couple hundred people show up that Wednesday. And that began a season of repentance, is what I would call it, where God just showed us our barrenness, showed us that our trust was not and our desire was not really in or for him. It was really in our own ability to do the work of the ministry. I remember saying things, pre-2012, like ministry's not rocket science, you just do this and that. Like as though we have the power to change someone's heart. And that season, like the Lord just grabbed our heart and confronted the low view of God that we had, in the words of A.W. Tozer. There was just this reckoning that needed to take place. And I think every time you see a new outpouring of the Spirit, it always begins with that. Just this reckoning of God's greatness and our barrenness and our desperate need for Him to be God. Like, you get to be God here. And that's where it began with us. Just this confrontation of pride and unbelief, where we the fear of the Lord had to kind of take hold. So it begins in wrong wanting. And just really quick, that's such a hard thing when you talk about, like, this whole process begins in the heart. How do you the heart wants what the heart wants. I can't make you love me. I think a very powerful prayer is sometimes, like, God, help my wanting. Like, maybe your prayer out of this is like, God, make me hungry. Make our church hungry again for more of you. Number two, so deal with wrong wanting. Then deal with wrong thinking. Issues in the mind, baggage that we bring to the table when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit. None of us come to this conversation in a vacuum. We've all got baggage. And, I have the privilege. I call it a privilege to lead a church that's very denominationally and generationally and even ethnically diverse. It's a beautiful privilege that is also a challenge. I did an 8-week series, 4 and 4, on the Holy Spirit last June and then in August. And, as soon as I announced this was happening, I had all the charismatics bringing their shofars and all the Baptists being like, oh boy, here we go. Right? I had to do the work, put that tambourine away now. And you get your hands up, somewhere in this, but people have this baggage they bring, in many cases, it's our presuppositions that close the door to us being open to experience the ministry of the Spirit. We've already determined for Him how things can go. And there needs to be kind of this mental posture that just opens. It's not just mental. There's a heart posture that precedes it, but then a mental posture that says, God, you get to determine how you come. You get to decide. There's a scripture I was going to show you. If you want to bring it up, you can on your phone. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 20. Paul says this: do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good. And in there, I feel like there's a model for us as it pertains to moving forward in the things of the Spirit. Do not treat this stuff with contempt. That attitude, that critical spirit that just says, not in here. That quenches the Spirit. When we tell Him how He gets to come, it quenches the Spirit. But also it says, test them all. So it's not just like, I think two ditches that we find ourselves in. One, the ditch of contempt. We're too critical. We just shut the door before it even opens. But the other ditch is we're actually too open, where we just assume that if it's spiritual, it's the Holy Spirit. And how many know, not all spirits are the Holy Spirit. This is why it says test the Spirit and see what is good. And you will know if you know the Word and you ask the Spirit to help me know what's just passion, what's demonic, what is your spirit. He'll show you. But it's very important that you know coming into this conversation, like there are these ditches that we can get, and you'll find that all through your own heart and mind and your church. And really, that the art of it is to lead people forward, lead the reformed guy that has no time for this forward in it, and leave the shofar lady, help her come forward as well with an open heart, a humble heart, open mind. So that's number two, deal with wrong thinking. I've learned that this prayer changes everything. Holy Spirit, if it's of you, I want it. Come how you want. Come when you want. Just as long as you come. And I think that's the posture and the mentality that really opens the door for the Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, if it's you, I want it. And in that time in 2012, 2013, I had to process first through my own fears, the contemptuous side, and then through my own fantasies of, coming down to the charismatic conference. I'll tell you, it's funny, I'm in Orlando. It's like at a Reinhard Bonnke conference. Anybody know Reinhard Bonnke? He's awesome. He's passed. But they did this like fire tunnel. Any fire tunnel people? No? Okay, not yet. They did this fire tunnel, and like I was like, I'm over it now. I'm like, whatever, I'm up for it. You want to electrocute me, God? Go for it. And I went there though, like really, it's like I want it all. I done a bunch of reading and research on like manifestations of the Spirit. It's like I want the full meal deal. And so I came to Orlando expectant, and I went through that conference, and I saw people just getting just annihilated, all the stuff that makes the reform people uncomfortable. All of it was there. I went up to the front on that last night, like just under the faucet, like, and nothing happened. And I went to the back and I sat down by myself and I sulked. And I was like, Lord, like why is this not happening? And he spoke to me very clearly there. He's like, you came for a manifestation and not for me. And it's like, as long as you're seeking the gifts and the manifestations, your heart is not in the right place. Like, if you will just stay in that posture that says, come how you want, come when you want, come where you want, just as long as you come. And if you can pray that prayer over your church and mean it, like, it's on. He will honor that. So, step number three. So, deal with the heart, deal with the mind, and then there's the idea of what you do. Deal with wrongdoing. Alignment issues. Intimacy and fellowship with the Holy Spirit for an individual or for a congregation is always the will of God. However, our experience is largely predicated upon whether or not we posture and align ourselves in a way that allows Him to move in our midst. How we proceed and how we posture ourselves can determine what we experience. Was anybody at the last gathering? How many, just show of hands? A lot of you. My favorite moment of the whole thing was when Pastor Kevin Myers was preaching. Do you remember that session? He actually shut down the live stream. He said, turn it off. I got to tell you something private. A couple thousand people private, but private. And he talked about reconciling with his dad. But he said something that stuck with me. And I think it puts to language what I'm trying to tell here. He said, I prayed that new year, God, I want more of you. And he said, I felt the Lord say, if you want more of me, you have to be more like me. And the idea is like that there's a compatibility quotient when it comes to, that's what holiness is. I know we've holiness has been hijacked into this, whether you're in or you're out, or you're a good person or a bad person, like that's not what holiness is. Holiness is kingdom compatibility. It's like how set apart your life is so that the Spirit, the holy, perfect Spirit of God can inhabit you. And how many know, like in all of us right now, there are spaces and places in our lives that just the Spirit doesn't have access. There's junk in there, or there's stuff in there. And to the degree that we can empty out space and posture ourselves is the degree we start to experience the Spirit moving in our lives. And we have found that in our, not just our own personal lives, but we've found that to be true in our church. There's an arrangement and an alignment that needs to take place that allows the Spirit space. When we started to intentionally aim our church toward the Holy Spirit with our hearts, minds, and actions, we began to see the increased presence. It says in Acts 5:32, Paul's talking about being witnesses to the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So there is a connection to what we do with our experience with the Holy Spirit. You know, how much room we have in our lives, how much room we have in our churches for the Spirit to move. It's not that he's not wanting to, it's that he's not able to. It's like when Jesus went to Nazareth, right? He could perform no miracles there because their unbelief. They weren't aligned to him. They didn't see him in his rightful place and invite him to minister how he wanted. And the same is true with the Holy Spirit. So, again, you're going to have to deal with it in your heart, your mind, and then alignment. Let's dive into some of the alignment stuff more specifically in my last minutes here. Here's kind of the areas in which we found the Spirit very hungry to be at work. Like places that, hey, if you want to find the activity of the Holy Spirit, here's where you will find him. Here's where you should, you know, get to where he is if you want to see an encounter happen. Here's what we found anyway. Again, this is an exhaustive list, but here's a few things. Point of encounter number one is you will find the Holy Spirit in the ministry of the church, like in the actual body dynamic of the church. The Spirit is very and explicitly active. Let me say it like this. The Holy Spirit is drawn to the body of Christ, functioning as she has been designed to function in unity. That's a huge one. How many of you have sensed that in recent days? Just the desire of the Spirit to bring unity to the church. Anywhere there's an effort toward unity, an effort toward reconciliation, an effort towards restoration, the Holy Spirit is all over that. But the Spirit is found in the design and function of the church, in unity, service, community, mission, worship, doing the hard work of health in the church, because of a desire to please the Father and not grieve the Spirit, draws the presence, power, and pleasure of God in a special way. Wanting to be a healthy church and doing the hard work of being a healthy church, I find that invites the activity of the Holy Spirit in a profound way. And we've seen that just in areas of, like, whether it's alignment, like I talked about the fivefold. We very much have been trying to recognize and elevate the diverse giftedness that is in the church. We aren't a one man show. We really want to represent the health that Jesus had in mind when he established his church, like built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And he's given the gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. We identify that. We also want to be a church that's big on restoration. We want to be a church that's big on forgiveness. That's big on the community. Those things allow the Spirit to flow. Number two, though, I mean, the church needs to be said. But number two, more specifically, zooming in, we've found the Holy Spirit is very easy to encounter when you get on the mission that he's on. We've seen massive moves of the Holy Spirit when we are willing to step out in initiatives of evangelism. The Holy Spirit is very into converting people to Jesus. I have noticed. And if you are willing to get out there, like I think one of the best discipleship things you can give to somebody who's new in their faith is to get them out there sharing their faith. Because it's not just that they're having to verbalize the reason for which they have hope, but they're actually in a place where the Spirit's going to be like, hey, oh, Brent, you're here. Let's do this, right? Like, the Spirit's already out there on mission. And if we show up on mission, we're in the place that he is, and we get to encounter and work with him. We've seen him in the areas of evangelism. Also, his mission to bring restoration, deliverance, and prayer and prophetic ministry has been massive for our church. probably the singular most consistent channel of just life-giving power into our church is the area of prayer ministry, freedom prayer, prophetic ministry. We have a whole team of people that have been trained up over the last few years who have been kind of vetted and activated. We aren't, you know, we don't give everybody a lightsaber. It's not how it goes. We work with people and we cultivate this in our culture. But we have seen just encounters with the Spirit just absolutely blow open through this. And we're now trying to do it in all the generations. So we have prayer and prophetic training. We take to all of our locations. We have that in our culture, in our DNA. And we're actually trying to bring the generations through that. Like last early December, Pastor Anthony, who's right here, just wave, Anthony. He's our senior pastor, specifically in the area of prayer and prophetic ministry. And he led a Hearing God seminar. He's done this multiple times all through our church, but he led that for our teens, for like these teens that were intentional. They had to register and they had to show up. And we had about 30 teens come, and our whole prayer and prophetic team prayed over their names, received words for each one of them. And two out of three of my kids, my two teenagers, went. And I'll tell you what, I watched them. I dropped them off. I watched them go in the church. And when they came back out those doors, they had heard the voice of God, and I could see it on their faces, and I'd never seen that look before. These kids grew up in church, their dad's the pastor, but the Holy Spirit spoke to them, and it absolutely floored them, like, He knows me. It was incredible. And developing those moments of prayer, I would encourage you, at the end of your services, whether nobody comes or not, every week, we've got 4 to 8 people. They're just all hanging out at the front. We're like, hey, we would love to pray with you. If you have any need at all. Sometimes we'll put out words of knowledge. We'll say, hey, we specifically felt there's somebody here with this. But we're constantly inviting people to come and pray. It's not just on Sundays. It's throughout the week. We have a vibrant prayer ministry ongoing. And we see the Spirit move there. Another place we see the Spirit move in His mission specifically is the area of recovery and addiction. The Bible says that God is near to the brokenhearted. And if you're willing to deal with the messiness of inviting, you know, Celebrate Recovery into your ministry or something like that, if you actually say, we're going to open the doors here, we have seen that be such a channel for the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's so fertile in the Spirit that the challenge becomes these people will come and they'll radically experience Jesus and the Spirit of the living God. We have to very quickly come around them with like theology and the truth of the word and how to disciple them. Or they're going to grab the lightsaber and just start swinging, right? And it's like, okay, we need it. Anyway, but it's a very beautiful and fertile space. Point of encounter number 3. So in the dynamics of the church, in the mission that He's on, and then you will find the activity of the Spirit kind of breaking out in the gifts that He gives. The gifts of the Spirit. And I think this is big for us Wesleyans. We need to press in on this. And I know we just did the memorial on tongues. I think that's a great thing. But we find the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in the gifts that He gives. And let me just put this little parenthetical addition here. All of them. Not just some. They're all beautiful to Him. And they're all powerful. Some are just, for us pastors, a little more dangerous and messy, and we don't like to see it out of our control. And that's really where the challenge of this whole thing is, isn't it? Who gets to drive? Who gets to determine where we go and how we get there? And it's very hard for us senior pastors especially to let our hands off the wheel enough that He can do some things that not only you can't do, but probably wouldn't do. But we have found as the gifts of the Spirit have been embraced in our context, the Spirit of God has had more space to operate. And it's actually brought a wider variety of people to life. Instead of just like being a heavy teaching church that only draws the people who are, you know, intellectuals, the more rounded our invitation of the Spirit is, the more rounded the inclusion in the body is. Because God made us all different. And we tend to lean towards the giftedness that we have and kind of to the detriment of all the other varieties of gifts. God has given the church supernatural abilities that require the Holy Spirit's presence. The gifts of the Spirit only work with the Spirit. It's like these are electronic. They're batteries, and they need batteries, and they won't work without them. To the degree that we can desire these gifts, let me say this, especially to prophesy and yield to the Spirit's leading, this will set the pace for how much of His power and presence is tangibly experienced in our midst. Let me read this to you, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 4, if you want to put that in your own Bibles. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So the Bible tells us we need to desire all the gifts, like sincerely, but especially to prophesy. And I have some opinions. I don't have time to get in on it right now, but why maybe it says especially to prophesy. But one just main idea, I look at the church, and I even look at our church, and if I could highlight to you, you know, pre-2012 and then now 2022, like what's different, like tangibly different that you say that's different and powerful? I would say it's the prophetic ministry. That would be the major shift, like as far as like proof that the Spirit's doing something unusual and instantaneous connection, like with the Holy Spirit, has been we have opened ourselves up to the prophetic ministry. Like I said, we have a senior pastor on staff that's his hat. There's authority at the board table for the prophetic voice. And I think, let me just put this out there for some of you senior pastors and stuff, I actually think that's probably the number one reason so many churches are malnourished, is because you're getting the food of the word, but there's something different that happens when someone brings an actual prophetic word through the Holy Spirit. It is instantaneous. Like look what Paul said, the one who prophesies strengthens, encourages, and comforts. And I think the health of our church is largely in connection to us just being willing to fumble our way into having a prophetic ministry. And that's been absolutely massive. My opinion, prophetic ministry could not be more important and could not be more neglected in the average church. And if I could just push you to explore anything, it would be, how do we let the prophetic voice of the Spirit have space in our context? What does that look like? And not just in services. I mean, I would actually tell you to start in leadership. Our board has shifted dramatically. Like where the work of our board is primarily the work of prayer, discernment, and using our voice to empower and encourage the church. And I couldn't encourage you more. All right, last thoughts. So that's kind of some steps where you can take a few pictures to know that you're on the right track. First, we started to see manifestations of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is quantifiable. You should be able to say, oh, there he is. The work of the Spirit's tangible. It's physical. It's relational. It's intellectual. It's emotional. And we have tried to set a space in our context that it's okay if the Spirit comes on like a flood, like a flash flood, and it's okay if it's a rising tide. It doesn't really matter to us. We just are, again, don't care how you come or where you come or when you come, just that you come. We also, again, you know you're on the right track. If you're starting to, especially senior pastors, you're getting some people that are coming around that have spiritual gifts that are a little bit different than what you've had in the past. That's a good sign. It means the Lord is trusting you to be a more dynamic church. And you'll see that as you invite the Holy Spirit. There'll be people pop up out of the woodwork, or even God will bring into your congregation that are a gift to your context. And so you'll see that. You'll also see an activation or increase of the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, that's the ultimate tell, isn't it? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? Is it evident in your staff? Is it evident in your community groups? Is it evident in your congregation? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. You should start to see that. Okay, three starting points, and we'll end with some 5 minutes of Q&A. three starting points or risks you must take, or things that at least we've done that I think have been helpful. Number one, preach the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. My whole ride started with hearing Rick Kavanaugh bold enough to preach some of this stuff. Dare to go on record with your people, with your community group, with your congregation, dare to go on record, because it will create hunger and expectation. I mean, just the simple power of a pastor getting up and saying, guys, Jesus loves this church just the way we are. And he loves us way too much to let us stay this way. There is more, and he has more for us. And then in humility, I'll say this, and I think this is in humility. The best leadership move I did through all this is just being honest with the fact that I hardly know what I'm doing. Just like being upfront, open with this. It's like, I want this too. I don't totally know what to do here, but we're going to inch by inch, day by day, word by word. We're going to proceed forward and just see what happens. I want this. But you have to have the courage to go on record and to start praying big prayers and putting out there, we want to see God bring renewal to us. You know, we want to see God, we want to see people moved by the Spirit, like to start preaching that. And then go beyond preaching to teach the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Start educating your people, whether that is like a sermon series. You could do that. We have done that to great effect. But more specifically, we do workshops. We do stuff for the hungry, for the people that want to come. We do a lot of seminars and training and workshops, and that's part of our culture. And that pound for pound has been the most effective. As you know, your crowd on Sunday is mixed. You got some people that are there very intentionally and hungry. You got some people that were dragged there. But when you set up a seminar, say, hey, we're doing a Hearing God seminar. Come and learn how you can start to hear the voice of God better. And the hungry come, we find that there's a way better yield on that. But begin to teach. And then last thing, I'll say this. Just start reaching. Reach for the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Dare to engage and embrace the gifts and the things that he says he will do. If I could put one word over the whole process of us moving forward in this, I would spell it R-I-S-K. It's just risk. You risk looking dumb. You risk things getting out of control. You risk nothing happening. The whole thing. It's this humbling, risky, yet hungry experience that God will honor. John Wimber, the guy I think that, I guess, I don't know if that was Kelsey Grammer supposed to be John Wimber, or was that, oh, the Calvary Chapel guy, yeah. Well, John Wimber is the other guy with the Lonnie Frisbee. You see that? Jesus from The Chosen? I'm getting all confused. Anyway, but John Wimber is the vineyard guy, and I love his ministry. But John Wimber said this. He said, we used to pray for no one, and no one got healed. Then we started praying for lots of people, and some people got healed. And we've kind of taken that mentality where we used to pray for healing for nobody, and nobody got healed. Now we pray for lots of people, and we've seen some people get healed. It's really happened. We used to prophesy to no one, and no one got prophesied to. And now we prophesy to a lot of people, and a lot of people get words from God that they can't ever shake. You know, it's living, and when that gets in there, there's no getting it out. You know, I went to bed that night with my kids coming back from the Hearing God seminar. And, you know, my daughter's 14. She's in high school, which is basically in Canada. I mean, it's progressive catechism to send your kid to public school. And you're walking around in a shrine to the ideologies that are taking over the West. But I went to bed that night thinking, my kids are going to be okay. Like, I don't know what they're going to go through. I don't know how far off they may like veer. But I know for sure they heard God's voice. And nothing will ever undo that. And that's happening for hundreds of people in our context. So, can I pray for you? Holy Spirit, we love your presence. And Father, we just ask in humility, as Jesus told us to, for every person in this room, whatever congregation or family or ministry they represent, God, I pray for the gift of hunger. I pray for humility and the fear of the Lord. I ask for renewed minds. I ask for wisdom to arrange our churches and our lives in such a way that invites you to be God and to be good and to move in our context. We all say, Lord, we say, come Holy Spirit over our lives, over our families, our marriages, our kids, our churches, our ministries. We say, come Holy Spirit. You get to decide how you come, when you come. We don't care as long as you come. We pray this in your name. Amen. We'll end with that. I'll stick around if you want to. I got 2 minutes. I don't know if you want to do Q&A or not. I took all my time, but is there? If any of you got to go, you can go. Question here?
How do we get the
slides? Oh yeah, if you want my notes or slides, thank you. If you want my notes or slides, email me at or find King's Church, but email me at brent.ingersoll. It's two L's in Ingersoll. @kingschurch.cc. And we will, my team will get the notes to you. And we'd be happy to help as well. If you want, just, you know, all of our staff are very willing to help in the process.